Hi, this is Charles at democraticfundamentalism.org. It's November 15th, 2002, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. This is the News in Review. Every time I see news about the murder convictions of 14-year-old Derek King and 13-year-old Alex King, I end up thinking about how in my own childhood I might have easily been in their shoes. I'll tell you about that story and the decisions I had to make about life and death while growing up in an abusive home, and then I'll have a few comments about their situation. I can't possibly let the new Homeland Security legislation being sought by the Bush administration go by without a protest, and I mean that literally. This legislation can only be seen as the most dangerous threat to American freedom that we take for granted. It's much worse than TIPS. We must defend ourselves from what we call their system. It's called total information awareness. Stuff like this tends to get me riled up. And even Bob Barr agrees with me on this one. Told you he was a decent guy, even if I do disagree with him on some things. Of course, we'll have some fun entertainment news at the bottom of the report, and I'm sure I'll be reminded of at least one synchronicity moment I'd be willing to repeat in public. There have been a few lately. I'll do a little review of the Phil Collins album, too. There's a cut from it in the mix of music tonight. Thinking about making it my theme song. It's really hot. With that, let's get into the news. Oh, as always, let me first welcome those of you in from other websites. On this site, democraticfundamentalism.org gives links to complete news stories on other websites in order to give you access to the full information you'll probably want to read. Just go to the democraticfundamentalism.org and the News in Review and select today's report. And of course, as I always say, you don't have to take my word for it. I don't have to make this stuff up. I always like to point out, too, that I recommend CNN quite often, and I have no apologies for that. After years of research and reading materials from newspapers and broadcast outlets from around the world, I found CNN to be the most consistently reliable and accurate source of information. Their website's great, too, though I wish they had a distinct section on the environment. That's a hint. And in some of my other favorite sources are Time.com, Space.com, BBC Online, New York Times, Village Voice, The Washington Post, The Denver Post. There are many good sources for news, and I encourage you to use them. Of course, I receive nothing for recommending them. Like I said, let's get into the real news. I've listed a link to the CNN website for the King brothers. It says they get reduced jail sentences for admitting their guilt and pleading to a lesser charge. Today, 14-year-old Derek King and 13-year-old Alex King had another day in court. This time, it was because they had been convicted of murder of their father. And this hearing was to determine if they were old enough to be competent to make decisions about their legal rights and representation. 14 and 13 years old. And it was determined by a judge empowered to apply his wisdom that they were, in fact, capable of making such decisions for themselves. Decisions that would affect the outcome of their lives. I couldn't possibly disagree more. So I'm going to tell you a story about myself that I hate to even think about, but is a truth about me that gives me some insight into this case. I just want to share that insight with you and give you something to think about. Well, my father died when I was 9 or 10. I can't remember off the top of my head. My mother began living with a man when I was 11. He was a violent alcoholic. He did a lot of things that would be considered mental and physical abuse. And my mother, out of her own codependency, was powerless to stop him out of fear for her own life. My sister was constantly running away from home, and she never told me why. When things were bad, I always just believed that, you know, there was a time to every purpose. And so, being a child who was trained to believe that my parents were in charge and whatever they say goes, well, I didn't see things as anything but what there was to adapt to. When my sister would run away from home, no one would ask me anything. If anyone at Child Protective Services would have asked me, I would have left in a flash. But no one asked. And I didn't know there was anyone to complain to. And my sister was labeled as incorrigible for running away all the time. Now, At a certain point, we lived way out in the country. We had no phones, no electricity. 40 miles from town, I was too young to drive legally. We lived in a logging camp, and the nearest house to us was a mile away. One night, of many nights that this man threatened my life, I was able to procure a gun and went and held it on him and told him he might be able to get away with this stuff with me, but if I ever found out he was ever doing anything to harm my sister, I would kill him. And he knew I was serious. It was 20 years later that I found out that he had been raping her from the first year he moved in. And I was just too young and naive to have recognized the signs, and nobody told me. But what it did inside me was fill me with a sadness, if you will, because I knew that since we lived where we lived and only had ourselves to defend ourselves, I would have killed him if I'd have known. I didn't know that I had any other options. And I'm not proud of that at all. If anything, I'm ashamed that I had that feeling and sad that I was ever put in a position that I would feel it necessary to take someone else's life. And that deep down inside, I would have felt justified every bit as much as I believe that it would have been wrong. And so today, 14-year-old Derek King was sentenced to 8 years in prison, and 13-year-old Alex King was sentenced to 7 years in prison. Derek admitted to killing his father and started the house on fire. Alex admitted talking to Derek and being there when it was done. And they were subject to what I, because of my experiences and knowledge, I believe constituted abuse by their father, who they were convicted of killing, and their adult friend, who was not found guilty, but also abused them in my book. And they were sentenced based on the determination that they were old and wise enough to make important decisions about how to conduct their lives and consider their legal rights and their ramifications. And so they admitted their guilt and took a lesser charge than murder. I simply cannot imagine how any of this could be considered a representation of justice or wisdom. It's hard to believe. It's ironic. They say these kids, these 14 and 13-year-old kids can make intelligent judgments, yet the very adults who make these decisions in the interest of justice, they say, have displayed that they're incapable of making intelligent judgments. There's no wisdom here. These are just kids. They don't know any better. They don't know anything more than they needed to find a way to deal with their situation. If they did kill their father, I'm not saying it's right or desirable. I'm just saying the law says you have a right to defend yourself. These kids need counseling, not incarceration. They were victims, every bit as much as their father was, even more. Whew, okay, take a deep breath and stretch. This gets more complex. Like the Peter Gabriel song says, the deeper I go, the darker it gets. That, of course, from the new album, Up, by the way. Now, I'm going to take this conversation a step further, maybe a couple steps, and take a look at the big picture of it all. What's going on with the implementation of harsh sentences and secret detentions and the death penalty by the Bush administration and the United States as a whole? I thought it was being mean-spirited and callous, just austere, if nothing else. What I believe I've discovered instead is an implementation from fundamentalist religion. I make no bones about my claims that the Bush administration is led by the teachings of Jerry Falwell, Heritage.org, Pat Robertson, and the Christian Coalition. And I'm not going to criticize them because they have a right to their opinion, and I'll defend that. But they have no right to restrict my freedoms and install what I consider to be a cruel fundamentalist-style rule of law because of an improper interpretation of Old Testament scriptures. I'm not joking or being facetious at all. Here's some synchronicity for you. I was watching some Winona Ryder movie the other night, and it started by quoting a Bible scripture having to do with the conception and birth of Satan. So, just for the fun of it, you know, how I am, I looked it up in my Bible. Now keep in mind that 2 days after looking up some things and considering what I had learned, I heard someone who is considered to be a legitimate spokesperson for the Republican Party talking about the use of the death penalty in the case of minors. He said that he wished more countries would apply the death penalty to minors. When that remark finally sunk in, I fully understood the Bush agenda for the use of the death penalty. And that's what this story is really all about. Now, because I wanted to understand what fundamentalist Christians believe these days, I decided a while back to begin studying the Bible very intensely, as if it was information, like a manual. I believe that anyway, personally, but I hadn't read it for quite some time. Now, this verse from the Winona Ryder movie led me to the story of the prodigal son. Now, that story is usually associated with a rebellious son who leaves home and isn't heard from for years and then sort of grows up and returns home and loves his parents. Well, the real story of the prodigal son is really extremely different. And understand, I'm not saying any of this to preach to you or anything like that. Consider this information about what our Christian fundamentalist leaders really believe. The ones who think the death penalty is appropriate for minors. The ones who are appointing lifetime judges. This is what the Bible says about the prodigal son. And I'm reading this directly from the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 21. It says in verse 18, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This is our son, who is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear." Now, frankly, I don't know what to think of that. It seems rather extreme to me, and it's strange in one way. I feel like I've been trained to believe in the use of the death penalty. I mean, what we do instead of stoning people to death, and so far I've found numerous references to its use in the Old Testament, but deep down inside I have this more basic feeling that taking another's life under any circumstances is wrong. Now, I'm not saying people shouldn't defend themselves. And there's a great deal more in the Bible that talks about the intent of the administration of justice, which I believe our Department of Justice is in violation of in terms of Old Testament fundamental rules. I haven't finished researching the New Testament yet, though, and when I do, I'll update this report. But I do know that the Old and New Testaments are quite different. In the Old Testament, there are many instances where it seems God thought people were going in the wrong direction and directed certain factions to war with others in order to remove the infidels from the land. The New Testament talks more about the allowance of free will and of allowing the perfect balance of nature to manage the excesses through natural selection, ecosystem failure, and self-destruction. But consider what I just read you is what I believe is part of the Republican fundamental Christian agenda. And think about it and compare it to what you see going on around you in the world today. And then please, I implore you, please tell me I'm wrong. Otherwise, consider the implications, the problems that could be caused by breaking down the barriers of separation of church and state as this government begins to implement its agenda in laws. And now we really do take a deep breath and move on. And we move on to the story of Homeland Security. The House passed the Homeland Security Department legislation. Now it's in the Senate, but it contains what I consider to be numerous authorities and privileges granted to the government that go far beyond what is appropriate. I mean, giving, you know, breaks to companies that move offshore to avoid taxes. And, you know, the reason is they want to use a system they call total information awareness. I mean, what it will do is track information on every electronic transaction you make. Credit card purchases, gas purchases, debt repayment, internet use, you name it. Supposedly to be able to identify patterns of behavior that would be able to allow them to identify terrorists. I'm sorry, but this goes too far. This is definitely something you should call or email your senator about today and tell them that this is just too much to tolerate. I've got a link here in the text of this report that'll take you right to how to get in touch with your senator. More information, by the way, is available on the CNN website. I've got a link here called Homeland Security Bill Clears House. Now, as I've said a number of times, that while I disagree with Bob Barr on many issues regarding separation of church and state, I've always said he was a decent guy with plenty to offer in terms of the national debate. He proved it again on CNN's Talk Back Live with Arthel Neville the other day. He said a great deal about what he sees as the dangers of the new Homeland Security Bill. By the way, the program has a great deal more on the subject. Just go to the link below for the program transcript. It's the link labeled Bob Barr on CNN Talk Back Live with Arthel Neville. And this was a little bit of the conversation. Arthel asked, "What worries you most about the Homeland Security Act?" Bob Barr said, "Well, the one thing that worries me most is the comments that you just showed before the break from Admiral Poindexter. I think the quote was, 'We care as much as the next guy about privacy.' That either shows a deliberate misrepresentation or they have a very, very warped idea of what privacy really is. Because the program that they're talking about here, and it's not really new in the context of the Department of Homeland Security, this is a process that we've seen in the Congress here going by the administration for many years now, seems to be taking us in the direction of gathering every bit of information that they can and using massive computers, as you've already indicated, to develop certain types of patterns and information on citizens that don't know it's being kept on them. They don't know what's happening to this, and we don't know what government is going to do with it. This is very, very frightening because there are absolutely no checks or balances on what the government is doing here. They're not playing by the rules under which law enforcement has been operating for 30 years now." And Neville says, "Now, Congressman, do you fear that perhaps innocent citizens could be harmed by the department and all of its power?" And Barr said, "Two things are happening here. Yes, innocent citizens will be harmed by having information on them and what they're doing, what they intend to do, what they're saying, who they're meeting with, translated to the government, being taken from them, being manipulated, analyzed, and maintained by the government. And it's already changing the way we operate in this country. This is what's most insidious. We're now having to start to think, what are we saying? Are we saying something that if the government overhears it, they might hold us accountable for it, that they might misconstrue it? Do we have to keep in mind what documents or magazines we have lying out in our car or in the home because some government agent or somebody operating on behalf of the government might see it? They might think it's suspicious, so they turn that information into the government. This is what's most frightening, and it's changing the way that we live in this country into something that really does emulate 1984. Arthel Neville said, "But now, Congressman, indeed, September 11th changed the way we live here in the United States. And so I ask you, what are the options?" And Barr said, "The options are very simple. We take the tools, the power the government already has, and we force government to do a better job with the power and the tools that they already have, rather than giving it more and more power to cover up the mistakes that it's already made." That from Bob Barr, Republican representative from Georgia, leaving office. He pretty much says it all, though. Be sure to contact your senators and be sure to tell them not to allow the use of the Total Information Awareness System. It really is a long-range danger to our freedom in this country. Now let's have some fun in entertainment news. I'll be doing this shorter version on a few of these stories. Check out the links. There's a lot more info. First of all, high five for 8 Mile, provided by CNN. 8 Mile, a drama starring Grammy-winning rapper Eminem, grabbed the top spot at the North American box office with a stunning $54.5 million grossed in its first weekend, according to studio estimates. Film's three-day sum represents the fifth biggest opening of the year after Spider-Man, Star Wars Episode II, The Attack of the Clones, Austin Powers, and Goldmember and Signs, you know, Mel Gibson. With Eminem's 8 Mile soundtrack topping the album charts, Eminem becomes the first artist since Jennifer Lopez early last year to rule both the music and world of movies. Speaking of Jennifer Lopez, they've announced their engagement. That's right. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck. Jennifer Lopez is engaged to be married to actor Ben Affleck, the singer-actress revealed during a television interview to be aired later this week. The announcement, made during an interview with Diane Sawyer of ABC News, follows weeks of media speculation, which was heightened earlier this month when Lopez showed off to television cameras a pink diamond ring on her finger. Let's see, in movies over the weekend, 8 Mile was number 1, Santa Claus, number 2, The Ring, number 3, I Spy, number 4, number 5, Jackass, the movie, number 6, my favorite guy, John Corbett, you know, the one from Northern Exposure, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, still up there on the list, number 6, but hanging in there, Sweet Home Alabama after that, Reese Witherspoon, Ghost Ship, Femme Fatale, and Punch Drunk Love. Hawaiian Punch, I would assume. Well, for quite some time now, I've been talking about how the Peter Gabriel album is sort of reflecting what's been going on in my life for the past 6 weeks or so. Well, it's strange but true in its own way. Peter was, of course, the lead singer in Genesis years ago. Well, now Phil Collins, who is leader of Genesis after Peter Gabriel left the group, has come out with a new album called Testify, which is a theme from a title track that's a love song that's another example of what makes Phil Collins' CDs so great. It's fun, energetic music with rich themes and love songs, like the hit Can't Stop Loving You, which is as much fun as it is moody and sad. I could give that song to a lot of people. There are a few cuts I found rather surprising, though, having to do with more social cause-type themes. Liked it a lot. One of the tunes, I'd swear he looked at this website and then wrote a couple of tunes because of it. I'm sure that didn't happen, but it could have. One in particular, though, a cut called Don't Get Me Started. I've said that line, you know, I've gotten off on tangents and said, but Don't Get Me Started. Anyway, it talks about demanding the truth from government. Going to include it in the mix tonight. It's great. You'll love it. Some of the lyrics go, don't get me started on politicians and the lies they spread. Then later in the song it goes, I'm tired of truth being denied me. It's mine and I want it back. They say that we can't take it. I think I can. Can't you? Love that song. It's so me. Thanks, Phil. Phil, by the way, if you really are out there listening somewhere, these things will come to pass. That's my promise, buddy. Remember, I drew the line. I know you're all thinking he's nuts, but find it's interesting who looks at this website. None of that, by the way, was in the text version of the script. We don't want to leave too much evidence. There are a couple of other cuts on the album, though, that I can really get into the same ways. Through My Eyes talks about taking a different view of the world. Wake Up Call reminds you it's time to notice what's going on. And the finale? It's a beautiful love song called You Touch My Heart. I really like it. This is definitely an album you'll enjoy. It's Phil Collins. The album is called Testify. Just came out a couple of days ago. Grab it while you can. I can guarantee I'll be listening to it quite a bit myself. It really gets me revved up. Oh, I wanted to give you a little note about the Global Democratic Citizens Union. We still are, you know, chugging away at getting the paperwork handled. The trip to Africa is still online for next April. We're getting some things cleared. We had some friends who had some trouble with visas going to and from the United States and Africa in the last couple of weeks. And so we want to make sure that unless, of course, there's war, that we won't have that kind of problem and get a bunch of people and supplies already and then find out we can't do anything with it. So I'll keep you updated on that. I think that covers enough ground for one session, so don't forget to tell your friends what you heard on democraticfundamentalism.org. We'll be here. With that, we'll call it a wrap. This is Charles, democraticfundamentalism.org. You have a great one.